96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
From Selma, Alabama, to Washington, D.C.
What do you want?
Education.
What do you want?
Justice. March for Justice, the civil rights symbolism very clear today as the 1,000-mile journey from Selma, Alabama, to Washington, D.C. comes to an end at the Lincoln Memorial. Tonight, we ask what now? What's next after this historic march? My guests are Elbridge James, second vice president of the Maryland NAACP, and Bob Ross, president of the Prince George's County chapter of the NAACP. We're going to talk to them in just a bit, but we start with Mandla Deskin. He is the Region 7 organizer for the NAACP. He walked from North Carolina to Washington, D.C. He joins us on the phone. You can, too. We're talking about this issue. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Mr. Deskin, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so tell me, first of all, how are you feeling? North Carolina to Washington, D.C., obviously not all in one fell swoop, but I'm sure you're feeling something. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. Well, just before I begin, I just want to make it clear, just a small correction. I actually started in Selma.
Okay.
So Selma to Washington, D.C., but definitely not an all in one unit, so I broke it up a little bit. There are several feelings. When you're on a march that long, the people who you're marching with become your family. So it's kind of a sad thing to come to an end, but it's also, you know, we've accomplished really a historic and amazing thing by marching 1,000 miles. We met a lot of people. We came through a lot of towns, met a lot of NAACP volunteers, a lot of supporters of the cause. It's a feeling of accomplishment, and it's really a feeling that, you know, I'm a little excited, I have to say.
What did you learn not only about civil rights, the movement, but also about yourself?
There are several things. First, when you know, in our day-to-day life, we drive a lot, we move a lot, we're always in a rush, we always have somewhere to go. But when you're out on an open road that's, say, 100 miles between the next metropolitan area or more, and you are walking anywhere between 15 and 30 miles a day, that sense of time slows down. So it gives you a lot of time to really be out. And as you're out and you're walking with nowhere to go really fast, you're able to really experience the volunteers and the diverse backgrounds that people come from that really want to be involved in this work as far as the marchers, but also you're able to experience the people and the communities that you walk through, and you're able to see and touch and understand the support for the work that needs to be done in a whole different way than you can through, say, Twitter or a rally every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. There was a lot of social media that we've seen on the NAACP website, as well as news organizations and the like. But to be able to touch people, to be able to deliver the message. So what was the message? What did you tell people? What did you tell them about your purpose? And what did you take away? What did you hope they took away after, you know, you left them behind?
What I told people when I saw them around along the way. We got some folks saying, what is this march for? What are you all doing? And, you know, we would quickly tell them, this is America's journey for justice. We're looking for jobs. We're looking for educational improvement. We're looking for voting rights. We're looking for criminal justice reform. And overwhelmingly, the response either went from, wow, this is amazing, keep it up, to people pulling over their cars and actually joining us on the march. Now, when you ask, what did I take from it and what do I want to do next, that was the second part of the question, correct?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There were a couple things I took from it. One, the support for the work that the NAACP is doing is much larger than we would see if we only watched the news and waited for a tragedy or some scandal or a branch president up in Washington in order to have information and news about the NAACP. There's people across this country who really support this work and want it to be done and need us to speak on their behalf. The second thing is it showed the power and the strength of the NAACP, because as we went along this route, every anchor location, every time we hit a town, every time we ate meals, there was some involvement of a local branch or the state conference along the way. So it showed that not only are we still around, but we're still around and we're always ready to go when the time comes.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We are talking about the end of the March for Justice, that 1,000-mile march from Selma, Alabama to Washington, D.C. by the NAACP and other civil rights supporters. I want to go now to my other guests here in the studio. Bob, what are you hearing when you are listening to what Mr. Deskin is saying? Is this what you imagined this march was all about? Is this what you hoped would come out of it?
Absolutely. The march, in my opinion, was a huge success. And now, though the march had come to a conclusion, the work starts. And the work starts tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. With a press conference, a rally, and then lobbying on the Hill. Then in the individual branches, you need to go to work, start your voter registration drives, start working on forms, really advocating in the community. So this is just the beginning. It's though we end, but we start a new phase of the journey for justice.
Elbridge, if you could talk to me a little bit more about the work, because, and I also want Mandela Deskin to chime in on this too, but first, talk to me a little bit about the work. We've been doing a lot of marching. That is not new. Certainly, this is an historic event. 52 years after the church bombing in Birmingham, and the loss of those four little girls. So certainly symbolic. 50 years after the Voting Rights Act. But now, what's the work about?
The work has to do with our legislators. The work has to do with putting foot to the ground to tell our legislators enough is enough. It is time for justice for all. We're talking about working with legislators, pushing county executives, mayors, governors to work with policies that change the actions of their police. We're talking about being tired of militarizing our communities. We're tired of not having community policing. We're tired of not having good schools, good health care, ability to get jobs and housing. You know, when we say Black Lives Matters, it's not Black Lives Matters when there is a crisis. Black Lives Matters 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we need to have the resources set aside in our community to work with our interested in population to get the best out of what we can. Marches are a way of visibly showing we're tired of it. We're sick and tired of it. You don't want us to have guns. You don't want us to take to the streets and protest and riot. But we're taking to the streets in peaceful demonstration to say time for action.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Wade, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling, Wade. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing? I just want to say I appreciate all the work the brother's done and the work that he'll probably be doing in the future. But my question is, you know, I don't really understand the significance of you know, like marching and, you know, what you did from Selma to D.C. because I think that we can be more impactful. There's a lady in Turner Station. Her name is Mrs. Speed. And what she did was she actually bought the liquor license in the neighborhood. And what that did was she doesn't allow, they only authorize one liquor license in that particular neighborhood at Turner Station. And what that did was it allowed her to control the liquor operations in the neighborhood. So they don't sell any liquor in Turner Station because she holds the liquor license. I think things like that are a little more significant. Now, I mean, you know, there's always room for discussion around everything, and nobody has the exactly correct answer about things. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Hold on, Wade. I want Mr. Deskin to at least try to address that. But before he does, for those who aren't familiar with Turner Station is a historically black community in Baltimore County, and so that's where that comes from. If it helps give you some kind of reference,
Black was actually born in Turner Station, and my grandfather was her doctor.
Okay, so go right ahead. You want to try to address his concerns, Mr. Deskin?
Absolutely. Now, the gentleman's concerns are not concerns that we don't hear often through this work. No matter what type of work we're doing, whether it's a march, whether it's a protest, whether it is a sit-in, whether it's some type of action, there's always room and space to critique it and think of how resources or time could be used better. An interesting thing, when I was in Montgomery, Alabama, I was on a bus with a gentleman named Reverend Dale. Reverend Dale was actually on the Edmund Pettus Bridge on that historic day when several people, actually a lot of people, were beat up really badly, and it's chronicled in Selma. But I asked him a similar question because I wanted to know if it was a new phenomenon. And basically what he said is, even during that time when he was organizing with the reverends in the area before Dr. King came in, there was always these discussions. They always exist. But to the gentleman I would like to say this. There is always room for a diverse amount of strategy. And the opponent that we face, the opposition that we face, is so large and so powerful that every little bit helps. And so sometimes as people who are the subject to this oppression, who need it to stop now because it's more than just a matter of something we care about, it's often a matter of life and death. Or as the gentleman said in his community, it's a matter of people having access to liquor to do things either to themselves or to their communities that we don't want them to do. It's really important to us, so we want the best strategy to happen now.
Okay.
But the truth is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, real quick.
I'm sorry. The truth is, we don't have a perfect strategy. So what I challenge him to do is, if he sees a great strategy happening like that, let's do that. You buy the liquor license, we march, and in the end, we all are looking towards the same thing. So let's focus on winning and not focus on what we are doing to critique ourselves so much.
Wade, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Of course, we are talking about the NAACP's March for Justice ending today in Washington, D.C., beginning on, of course, August 1st in Selma, Alabama, 1,000 miles. We're asking tonight, what now, what next? How do we have some of these civil rights injustices, civil rights concerns addressed now? Let me go to Q, calling from Baltimore. Q, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I guess what's on my mind is that I just wish that everybody could work together and stop pulling apart from each other.
What do you mean by that? Who's pulling apart? Give me an example.
I mean, people in general. You have to strive and want to work and have some self-pride and some dignity. And you have to bring it, bring everything back where there's peace. I get tired of the rip-rack, all the Democrats, the Republicans fighting each other. I get tired of that.
Okay.
And it's so much going on in the world, and I hear that y'all addressing some of the issues, but I have one important issue that maybe you might want
to
bring up.
Well, bring it up quickly because I've got to go to a break. What is it? Go ahead.
I would like to talk about the workman's comp, how people get messed up with their workman's comp dues.
Well, that's an excellent point, and that goes to issues about fair labor. It goes to the issues of economics, and we're going to talk about that entire issue on the other side. That includes a discussion with Shaq calling out of Los Angeles, and the rest of you on the line, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We're going to continue this conversation about the March for Justice, the NAACP March ending in Washington today. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us.